Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn with us over to Genesis chapter number 2. Genesis chapter 2 this morning as we continue through our series going through the Bible here in the next 2 years. And last week, we, of course, looked at Genesis chapter 1 and the creation of the world. And now this morning, we're going to get into the creation of man. The creation of man. And who would like to read our memory verse there? Genesis 1:27. Genesis 1:27. Who'd like to read that? Miss Martha, go ahead.
Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them.
All right. Thank you there, Miss Martha. And so this morning we want to see just how God describes for us in detail. Of course, last week was how he created the earth, how he created the world. And now this morning is going to be how he created the human race, how he created us. And there on your handout, we see we have five main points when it comes to man. The first, of course, is man's occupation. And we find that there in Genesis chapter number 2. And who'd like to read there verses 4 through 6? Genesis chapter 2. Verses 4 through 6. Katie, go ahead.
These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God had made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground.
All right. And so here we see man's occupation. We see here his responsibility was simple. It was to care for the rest of God's creation. That's what man was created for. And we see that here in verse number 5. You go back to chapter 1. You see that in verses 26 through 28. And then if you skip down there, chapter 2 and verse number 15, the Bible tells us, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. So we see man's responsibility was to take care now of the rest of God's creation. And so then we go on and we see man's creation. And who'd like to read there verse number 7 for us? Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7. Miss Martha, go ahead.
Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul.
All right. Thank you there, Miss Martha. So here we see man and his creation in three forms. The first part of verse 7, we see that he formed man from what? From the dirt of the earth. And then we see that he breathed into him his own breath into man, and then man becomes a living soul, and we see that life came from God, and the same is true still even today. Life was given by God back here in creation, and now that you and I, we're jumping just a little bit ahead, but we know that whereby for one man sin entered into the world, and sin upon all men, and death upon all men. Well, now, in order for us to have life everlasting, life eternal, we need to put our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. And when we do that, God once again gives life. He breathes new life into us now spiritually and makes us alive. But here we see that man was created, formed from the dirt, breathed God's breath into him, and then man becomes a living soul. And we see that life comes from God. And whether it was here in Genesis or Revelation, life always comes from the Lord. Life always comes from God. And then thirdly, we see man's habitation. Man's habitation. And who'd like to read there chapter 2, verses 8 through 15? 8 through 15 this morning. But Kenny, go ahead.
And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for fruit, and the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the First is Pison, that is the it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There is Beltum and the Ointstone. And the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hedeco, and that is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him and help me for him.
All right. Thank you there, Brother Kenny. And so we see here a man's habitation. And we see in verse 8, God provides for a man a place. Then we see in verse 9, God provides for man food. In verses 10 through 14, God provides water for man. And then in verse 15, God brings man to his new home. So everything that a person could possibly need, God here at the beginning of creation provides it for man. And again, we see just like previously how life comes from God, all of our needs are met by God. All of our needs come from the Lord. All of our needs are given to us by God. And, again, we often use the illustration that, well, not all of our wants are given to us by God, but all of our needs are given to us by God. And that's true. We see that even here at the beginning of creation, that God always provides for our needs. And then Brother Kenny also read for us verses 16 and 17, and we see man's volition. And in verse 16, we see that God gave man the ability to choose. And this is going to be a very important concept as we go further here in the Genesis over the next couple of weeks, because he would give us a free will. He would give us the ability to choose that which was good, that which is evil. And it's often been said that when it comes to love, that you can't force love. And that's the simple truth of the matter. If God forced us to love him, then that would not be a genuine love. That would not be a real love. And so he gave us this ability to choose, and we'll see where that choice, that free will, kind of came in to kind of bite us in the tail because of the one man there, and I think it's James, whereby one man sinned into the world, Adam and Eve, they fell into sin, and now sin passes on to every man. But that's the result of the ability to choose. That's the result of free will. But then we see in verse 17, God shows man the one thing that is forbidden, of course, that there in verse 17, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God says you can have every tree that you want to have. You can eat of everything here in the garden except that one tree. Don't eat of it. For in that day thou shalt surely die. And he warns them of the consequences if they were to choose that which was forbidden. Now, sometimes, you're told, well, don't do this now, but you're never told why. And, our natural instinct, just in general, is we're told not to do something, we want to try it anyway. Mm-hmm. Don't eat the cookies before dinner. Well, what happens? We somehow find our way into the cookies. Don't touch that stove. It's hot. And then all of a sudden, man, how did my hand get burned? I touched that stove. And because we have a very natural inclination to do that, which we're told not to do. We're told, don't do this, and we do it anyway. And that's even more so when we're not told, well, here are the consequences behind it. Now, what happens is, we're told, okay, don't do this. Here's what's going to happen. Well, then we get the idea, well, is that really going to happen to me? If I really touch the stove, is that really going to burn my hand? If I really have those cookies before dinner, is that going to ruin my appetite? And I don't know about you, but for me, usually not. I mean, I could have the cookie and then and then still have dinner. And, you know, so I forget who said it, but they said life is too short. Have dessert first. And
Brother Cardi.
And so, yeah, you know, life is too short. Have dessert first. And but yeah, so I've never had that problem of it ruining an appetite or ruining a meal or not, whatever. But here we see God shows man that one thing that's forbidden. He then tells them the consequences if they choose to partake in that which is forbidden. Then fifthly this morning, we see man's companion. We see man's companion. And who'd like to read there? Verses 18 through 25. Verses 18 through 25, chapter number 2 down there as we finish off chapter 2 this morning. Mandy, go ahead.
And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked in the Lord, in the man and his wife, and were not ashamed."
All right. Thank you there, sweetie. And so we see here that, and again, you've often heard me teach on this truth, is that God never designed us to be an island. He never created us to be a lone wolf. And we see that here in the story of creation. We see in verse 18, Adam had a need for a companion. And verses 19 through 20, we see Adam was given the task of naming the animals. Verses 21 and 22, we see that God creates woman, unites her with Adam. And then in verses 23 and through 25, we see Adam calls God's new creation woman. And see, I don't see why ladies get offended by that. You know, like when I'm talking to men, sometimes I'll say, "Now, woman, listen."
Does that work very well for you?
No, but see, that's Bible. That's Bible right there. What does it say in verse 23? She shall be called woman. Woman. That's right. And okay, I'm moving on from that quickly. Yes, yes. But well, you see that was going to be her name, woman. And then in verses 23 through 25, we see God defines what marriage is. "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." And so we see that's the definition of marriage. And so we see here in detail how God creates the human race, or how he created the human race. And there's several things this morning that we see from this creation of man. Number one, we see that man is God's special creation. Man is God's special creation. Again, you notice there, bless you. Again, we notice there in verses, I don't know why I had that written down wrong. Chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, the Bible says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle of the sea," or I'm sorry, "and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And then verse 7 of chapter 2, the Bible says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And so we see here, man is the only creature that God created to resemble himself. You and I are made in the image of God. We are a likeness, a representation of God himself. And God created man for himself, to be in fellowship with God. And man was formed, the Bible tells us here, by the hands of God from the dirt, and then given life by the breath of God. Man was God's special creation. And we see here that creation, and I have it written here in my Bible, the crowning event. And you notice there, it says it three times, that in the image of God, we were created in God's image. And so we see that we are his special creation. But then secondly this morning, we see that man has the very breath of God in him. We have the very breath of God in us. And we see that again in verse number 7. So the breath that gives me life, the breath that gives you life, is different than the breath of an animal. The breath that I breathe is the very breath of God. The breath that you breathe is the very breath of God. It has been passed through reproduction to every human that has ever lived. And God gave it to me. God gave it to you. And only God can take it from me. Only God can take it from you. You know, oftentimes, and rightfully so, we make a big deal about abortion. The fact that abortion is murder. Abortion is wrong. And, well, the same goes the other end of the spectrum, thinking about euthanasia and how, well, now if someone gets too old or too sick, well, now the state or somebody who has, quote-unquote, their best interests in mind can come ahead and just basically murder them. Well, no, we see that breath was given by God, life was given by God, and it's only God who has that power to take that life. God has that power to take that breath. And you know, you think about it, and there are studies out there that talk about the fact that scientists cannot explain the wonder of man's first breath. They can't explain the wonder of our last breath. But the Bible makes it clear that both are completely in God's control. Both are completely in God's hands. And so we see that we have the very breath of God in us. And then number three, we see that God created this amazing world to show his love to man. You think about this amazing, this beautiful, this sometimes crazy world that we live in. And you stop to think about it and you realize, you know, yes, there's a lot of sin. There's a lot of decay. There's a lot of you go into certain cities and certain parts of certain cities, and it looks run down and unkempt and all the rest. But then, you know, you go and you travel and you drive and you see certain parts of this country and just how beautiful it is and how breathtaking it is. And you see the sunsets and the sunrises and, you know, all of these different things. And you stop to think that all of that, all that you see, you know, you think about the Lion King and oh, who was the father lion?
Mufasa,
thank you. And he looks at Simba and he says, all of this shall be yours. And it looks over the kingdom and the beauty of it all. And then he says, yeah, don't go to that place. And I'm pretty sure he was talking about certain parts of Philly in that place. And but you know, he looks over it, and you know, you stop and you think that for all of the decay, for all of the dirtiness and all of the sin, there's still a world out there that was created by God, and that was created as God's "I love you" to man, his special creation. You think about every beautiful and breathtaking element of creation. That's God's expression of his love to his most special creation, you and I as mankind. You know, you think about it. What is the purpose of beauty without someone to behold it? What is the purpose? You know, you think of the lovely scent of a rose without someone to enjoy it. The purpose of, you know, the amazing taste, you know, of an orange or an apple or, you know, a chocolate cupcake or a Hershey bar or a slice of pizza or a chicken parm sandwich or a Caesar salad or, you know, all of these things we like to enjoy and we like to eat and, you know, we like to have snacks on. You know, what's the point of it without someone to taste it? What's the purpose of the wonders of the animal kingdom without, you know, someone to be in awe of it? I mean, do you realize, and Amanda and I talk about this often, we live with a wild animal. Do you realize that? If our dogs ever got tired of us, I mean, they could rip us limb from limb if they so chose.
They're God's little angels. They wouldn't do that.
You would hope so. You would hope so. You know, sometimes I think, you know, man, if Mojo just had thumbs. You know, the things he would do if he just had thumbs, yeah. And, you know, but, you know, you think of the animal kingdom and, you know, the awe of it. And, you know, God made his purpose clear when he completed his amazing work of creation by making us the recipient of this multitude of custom-made gifts. He made us the, you know, that recipient. And what a blessing that is. And then number four this morning, see, God gave us the opportunity to choose him. God gave us the opportunity to choose him. Notice there again, if you would, verses 15 through 17. Chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. The Bible says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." And so now we see here, God gives them this command. Of everything in the garden you can freely eat except this one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, something we sometimes fail to realize, I think, is that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, this was also a creation of God. This was created by God. This tree was not some sort of pre-existing factor, pre-existing condition that God just had to deal with and work around to create everything else. No, this was a creation of God. And it was not an element of creation that was mandated by a higher authority. You know, no one came to God and said, "Okay, God, this creation that you're doing, it's looking good, but, it's just missing one thing, a tree of the knowledge of good." No higher authority came to God. God is the highest authority. He had final say. But God designed this tree with a purpose, and that purpose was to give man the opportunity to choose him. You see, without this tree, man had no choice, no free will. There was nothing in the garden that if they could eat of everything, then they were going to eat of everything. They were going to partake of everything. And there was no choice to be made. And so without this tree, man was just some sort of a pre-programmed robot. Without this tree, man was no different than the animals. But this tree was man's opportunity to rebel, and therefore it was man's opportunity to obey. And so this tree facilitated man's free will. This tree facilitated man's free choice. And this tree would reveal that man had something that other creatures did not have. And that was a spirit. That was a soul. And then fifthly and finally this morning, we see that marriage was part of God's creative act. Marriage was part of God's creative act. Notice there, if you would, again, verses 21 through 24. Genesis chapter 2, verses 21 through 24. The Bible there again says, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh and said thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And so we see here that just like God created the stars, just like God created the trees and the animals, we see here God created marriage. And the relationship of a husband and wife was designed by God himself. And it should be held in the highest regard by his creatures, because it was instituted, it was created by God. And so we see this morning that as God created all of these things, this creation of man, a lot went in to this creation of man. And, you know, only the God of the universe could create something so intrinsic. And, you know, you think of the greatest designers of our day. I mean, you think of, you know, Steve Jobs, you know, with the iPhone or whatever the case may be. Guess what? With the iPhone, if we're as smart as Steve Jobs was, there are still kinks and bugs and different things that, you know, to this day, they're still trying to work out. And we're on, you know, iPhone 15, about to go on iPhone 16, and there are bugs from, you know, earlier generations they haven't fixed, you know. Android, yes. They have their own problems. You know, you think of cars today. The greatest car manufacturers in the world. Guess what? Cars still need a mechanic, because for as well made as they are, they still break down. They still need work done to them and all the rest. And, you know, you think of the driving cars like Tesla or whatever. I mean, you know, that's a scary proposition in and of itself. You know, some drivers are horrible. Now, can you imagine the cars driving themselves? I mean, you know, so, Brother Kenny?
Let me tell you, cars aren't well made.
Well, you would like to think they're well made, right? And that's why, you know, that's, you know, we talk about certain jobs going, you know, automated and AI. There are certain jobs that will always need a human component, and cars are one of them. They'll always need a mechanic. So, Brother Kenny's job is safe when it comes to that regard. He'll always be able to find work as a mechanic. And, you know, but only God could create things that, you know, but, and I know some people say, well, you know, people get sick, people get cancer, and people get diseases. But you have to remember and realize that when God created man, there was no sickness. When God created man, there was no cancer. When God created man, there was no disease. It wasn't until sin entered in that all of those things became a part of what we know today. And one day, when we get to go to heaven, all of those things, those sicknesses, those cancers, those diseases, all of those things are going to be done away with. And we'll have our new bodies. We'll have our new minds. You know, we won't wake up and, you know, your back is killing you and you have to, you know, try and stretch yourself out. And, you know, none of that's going to be happening in heaven. And what a blessing that's going to be someday. And so, you know, praise the Lord for the creation that only God could create and only God could sustain. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll go to the morning service this morning.